It's Saturday, January 25th, 2020, and you're listening to episode 535 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 51 minutes.
Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name's Wayne.
And this is Dale.
My name's Chad.
And I'm Laura.
Looking different.
Yeah, I know. No Dan this week. Dan's taking the week off. He's downstairs, actually. We just had a topic that just wanted the four of us on.
We are invading Dan's house. He doesn't know it yet.
Oh, he knows.
With Charlie, there's no way someone invades this house without him knowing it.
Yeah,
absolutely, yeah.
All right, we only have a couple of quick announcements. Fear the Boot is officially on Pandora now.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Apparently that one took a little longer than some of the others.
What's Pandora?
It is a streaming music service.
Yeah. So Pandora, right? It was one of the early streaming music services. Not an illegal one, right? It was like a legitimate one. So we're not talking Pirate Bay or anything crazy like that. I used to use it a lot. And it was a little...
Yeah, so did I.
It was ad supported. And I would play video games and then I would have it running. And they said that they were going to take certain percentage of people who used so many hours of Pandora in a month on their accounts... And basically throttle them. They were going to kind of cut them off, and they would have to pay, you know, membership fee.
Dude,
and
that's not
guess
cool.
What? They were like, it's only going to be 3% of our user base. Not going to be huge. I was one of them. I'm like, wow.
We're looking at you, Chad.
Pandora is actually one of the things on Brodor's list that he's not allowed to talk about.
That's right.
Because we brought it up once, and he went into a rant. I don't even know what the rant was about. It was that much of a rant. Brodor rants about Pandora.
So are we just not telling him?
We're on Pandora now, so yay.
Yeah.
What was the other
We'll tell him on a negative episode.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
So the other thing I wanted to hit on was...
If you want to hear the negative episodes, make sure you subscribe to the Patreon.
Oh yeah, that thing.
Yeah. So the other thing I want to hit on is, recently, Chris Hussey and I were on a stream playing a game of Savage Worlds, East Texas University, streamed over on the Gamers Table Twitch stream.
Mm-hmm.
How the whole thing developed. I was on an episode of Big 20 a little while back, and I went on my usual, you know, I hate Shaken, not a fan of Savage Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And so Gage from Gaming with Gage, who I know Chad and Dan have talked about quite a few times, wanted to run a game to show me that...
He wanted to run Savage World? Color me shocked. Dude loves him some Savage World.
Oh, yeah. He admits he's a Savage World Kool-Aid drinker.
I don't think I've played that yet.
Yeah, so...
I'm missing much.
I'm not mad about it.
He wanted to show me that all of my problems with Savage World was a combination of bad GMs and an older version of the rules that have changed.
Yeah, because they have a new version. It's not even like a little errata. I mean, it's like a whole new version of Savage World's out now.
So he set this game up. It was me, Chris Hussey, a number of other streamers out there. We'll have the link in the show notes so you can go check it out. And my takeaway from it was... He was right.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my complaints about Savage World have been fixed. I have gone on the rants on the mic so many times about Shaken, and Shaken isn't really an issue anymore.
Yeah.
Getting changed Shaken doesn't happen because they've changed the rules.
For the two people out there who have not played Savage Worlds, what is Shaken?
Three people.
So Shaken is a mechanic where when you got hit, you essentially couldn't do anything.
That's stupid.
Yes. And you would have to either pay a Benny or make a vigor roll. But in that version, you had to make the roll with a raise. You had to get an 8 to be successful.
On 2d6?
Whatever dice
Dice pools that were different kinds. It's been a long time since I played.
So if you had, say, a d4 in it, you had to get an 8 to unshaken. Now you only have to get a 4.
Yeah.
It's not difficult to do. It seems impossible to get chain stunned based on what I saw. It wasn't even really a inconvenience. I didn't mind it at all. And there were a lot of other little rules like that that they've just improved. So he has won me over on it. I do see that most of my complaints were for an older version or for different GMs. I do still think it can lead to a lot of samey characters.
Sure. Any point buy system is going to be like that unless the point buy system is so expansive that it'll be like doing your taxes.
Well, any generic system really kind of leads to
GURPS.
That.
You know, I've never actually played GURPS. I've heard a lot of things about it, so usually negative,
yeah.
But I've never played.
I played it at FairtheCon. I didn't have any issues with it, but I played it specifically because I wanted to try it because I had never played it. And I think it's kind of the same thing with a lot of these generic systems, though, is when you have a ability that is shoot, whether that is fire a ice bolt or fire a gun or laser beams from your eyes.
You just max it out.
But it's always the same mechanic.
Yeah.
Then it's going to feel samey.
Yeah. Right? So are we playing Savage Worlds in our next campaign?
We are not.
Yay!
What are we playing, Wayne?
So that kind of leads into our main topic. And
nice segue.
Look at me with my segue, man. Wow. It's awesome.
Smooth as glass.
Yep.
Chewing up a glass sandwich.
So, and this is the reason we have
wheels on the handlebar, and you can go at 16 miles an hour.
I got this, guys. It's fine.
So this is the reason we have this group on the mics, is a little while back, we did an episode where I went through the template that I had created for gaming pitches.
Yeah, because you were going to run a new game for us.
Yeah, it was
pitching them.
It was still a little while before we were going to pitch.
Sure.
And I kind of come up with the idea, and Dan can link those in the show notes as well, so I can give him all kinds of homework. And we kind of went over that. Well, I used that form that I had created for these game pitches on Saturday.
Yep.
So, Chad, I'm going to start with a question for you.
Yes.
Actually, you were there for this one too, Laura. The last time I did game pitches, I think they went really poorly.
Yeah, they were awful. I mean, I love you, Wayne. You're a wonderful game master. They were not that great. And we talked about it. We talked about on the episode is that you had some ideas. Some of the games were just that. They were ideas. They were not quite fully coalesced yet.
Yep.
And the actual pitches themselves were
vague.
It wasn't a good sales job.
Yeah.
I think that I can do good pitches, and we talked about this in the episode, because my dad was a salesman, and you know, I've got this sort of like, hey, I can sell things. I can sell an idea.
You're a talker.
I'm a talker. That does not mean the idea is good or worthy, but I have that ability. And the thing is, with your first pitch session, you weren't selling ideas. You were telling us ideas, which was fine.
Yeah.
This pitch session that you did on Saturday for us was really, really good. It was excellent. I knew exactly what you were talking about because, you know, it's like you pitch how many games? Five? Maybe
four.
You pitch four games. Every single one, I felt I knew everything about from your pitch, everything I need to know. You opened the floor to questions, but you were specific about the questions.
Yeah.
You know, and you kind of led the questions. I think there's a danger when you do pitches and say, well, does anyone have any questions? And then people start saying, well, what kind of character can I play? Oh, well, I can play a dragon. Hey, I got an idea for a dragon and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, wait a minute. We haven't actually accepted
the
game.
You lose control of the conversation.
Yes, yes.
And you did a really good job, I think, with this pitch session, maintaining your control over the conversation while still making sure that we had the ability to ask questions or give input.
And this one was interesting doing the pitches because we had two remote people.
I've got shades of like being at work. It was, but not in a bad way. It was interesting.
Yeah, I have never
called people in.
I've never had done that before for one of these, but it seemed like everything was cursing us that day.
My sitter woke up with the flu.
Larry was sick.
There was no sitter.
Dawn had to leave early. It was her mom's birthday. We barely got out of that.
So we had a speaker phone set in the middle of the table for two of the players.
Yes.
So Dale, have you ever gone through a pitch session before?
Not yours.
Right.
And I've gone through others, but honestly, yours was better than any I've seen thus far.
Mm-hmm. And it all because the last one was horrible to me. I probably think it was worse than it even actually was, but it was really bad.
And in the moment, I mean, keeping in mind that that was literally my first pitch session that I had ever been through, because I don't think we did one for the 5e game I started on.
Nope. I just told you what we were playing.
Yeah. You just told me.
Chad and I are like, usually different like that.
He
doesn't typically come with a variety of games. When I've seen Chad do pitches, it's because we have multiple GMs that are wanting to run at the same time.
Yeah.
And so it's a pitch to decide between the GMs.
Yeah. So, yeah, your first one, like, in the moment, I wouldn't have known or thought, oh, this is a really shitty pitch session. It's more of a, like, oh, this is a thing. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to smile and nod in the corner of the couch. So, yeah, I don't think it was as bad as you think it was.
Yeah.
So I pitched four games for anyone that has looked at the previous episode with the pitches, two of them were the pitches I made for that episode.
Yes.
I put more thought into it, but I didn't change the document.
Mm-hmm.
So the Dresden Files game and the D&D game were both from that document I did in the previous episode. The other two is I pitched a Western game and a Fallout game. I knew coming in, no one was going to vote for the Fallout game.
So it's like you're a movie director or producer, right? It's like you're going to the studio and you're saying, okay, I got these ideas for these movies, and this is your shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to do the movies you know that they want, and you're going to do the movies that you think you can sell them on, and then you're going to put your shot in there. It's like, this is your passion project. You're going to slide through. No one's going to say yes, but you got to take your shot.
And that was exactly what this was. The Fallout pitch, I found a system online that I thought the system was pretty good, but there was no character sheet for it. I created a character sheet and brought in.
Yes.
You're such a nerd.
It had pictures on it, too.
I had to get it out of my system because I was excited for it. I had some passion for it. I needed to pitch it. I never thought anyone would vote for it, and nobody did vote for it.
Right.
But I got it out of my system.
Yeah.
And in fact, like three people voted against it in the strongest possible terms.
I did not vote against it.
Yeah.
I would much rather have done that than a Western game. Thank you very much.
And the quality of the pitch for the Fallout game was really good. Now, obviously, our listeners weren't there and we didn't record it. All of the pitches were really good because you used your pitch template, which I think is a really, really good thing. Your pitch template is amazing because it organizes the information. It organizes it for you. You didn't pass them out for us to read.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you got it out and put it on paper, so that's part of the creative process, and then it was there for you to utilize, and I think that it really solidified Nebulous Ideas. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, a couple of these pitches you had pitched to us in the previous pitch session, or they were kind of close-ish, maybe not?
I think maybe Dresden came up in the last pitch session.
I pitched Dresden with no story whatsoever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before.
Well, and this forces you to take sort of nebulous ideas and coalesce them. That relates to the Fallout game, because if you didn't have that, you'd be like, hey guys, I'm really passionate about this Fallout game. You're like, what's it about? Well, I kind of want to set it here, and it's cool. It's like, well, wait, everybody at the group except you and me has not played Fallout. I don't know if you play Fallout. Has not played Fallout, so no one knows what the hell you're talking about.
Right.
But you're very passionate about it. This forces you to put the information down, and it withstood our questions.
Mm-hmm.
It fueled your pitch. It just, the concept was a non-starter, unfortunately for you, which is fine. Not all ideas are going to happen. But
it was a very nice looking character sheet too.
Yeah,
it was very
really
well
good.
Done.
It was really, because there's a little Fallout Boy on it.
It was the first character sheet I've ever created.
Honestly, it looked professional.
It did.
You could see that in a Fallout RPG book, like the back page for that. Yeah.
Yep.
That would not
you
be
should
out
have
of place.
Because Dan doesn't have enough homework, you should have him put that character sheet up as well.
Yeah,
I do have it right over here in my folder.
Good. But yeah, even though you knew that Fallout wasn't going to get accepted, and I thought the pitch was excellent, and it was the template that I think really helped you, and that applies to all of your pitches.
The Western one I thought had a better chance than it did, because we had been talking about Westerns for quite a bit.
To play that game.
Yeah, no. We talked about how we...
You
had...
don't like Western? Oh. No.
No.
No. There's none of that.
I'm not interested in a realistic Western. I'm interested in some type of weird West. I don't want to be in a game where someone, even an NPC, is just going to shoot a Native American just because. I just don't want to be in that game. Now, a Native American joining a cowboy, joining a former slave, so forth, to hunt zombies. Or Cthulhu cultists.
Yeah.
Or something else like that. Absolutely. I'm there.
I know that Critical Role has gotten some hate lately. I'm actually a very big fan, and I'm not sorry about it. They did a Western game called Undeadwood. It was very Western. Yep. But
I think
was
they're
a lot
using
of the,
Deadlands.
Yeah. But there was a lot of the magic stuff and you know, undead things and, like, that kind of game I can get behind. But if it's just a realistic, I play to escape, and going into a realistic setting that doesn't have any of the magical trappings that I look for, that's not an escape for me.
That's definitely something we're going to come back to in a minute here.
I just have to say something in, in defense of Westerns in your game. I do have to bring out that three of my favorite movies are The Searchers and both versions of True Grit. So I would love to play in your Western game, Wayne.
You're entitled to your wrong opinion.
Now, you see, I'd be okay with playing a one-shot of that before actually agreeing to an actual campaign of that, because I would like to actually see what we could do with that.
Well, so when you look at how we normally game and this pitch, it is not how we normally game. I specifically talked about things like character death. We usually don't have a lot of that.
Right.
It was something that was important to me for that game. I was going to keep track of things like,
you all know, of the things.
Yeah, things I normally will just hand wave, like food and drink and hunger. And I wasn't going to keep track of bullets outside of what was actually in the gun. But it was going to be a lot more realism than we typically do in gaming. Yeah. And so I wanted to make sure that that all came out in the pitch.
Right, which I appreciate. Because that's important information for me as far as if I want to get into that. And
So that led into like some of the questions, though.
Yeah.
You made a comment about how you wanted fantasy in your games. So I had asked one of the players at one point in there what they wanted out of the game. Actually asked everyone that. What do you want to see out of this game? But one of the players came back and gave that as an answer.
I think that was Larry that said that.
It was. Larry specifically said that Larry wants fantasy and to escape from reality.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, lives in reality all day, wants something different and fantastic.
Larry does not want to play a game where it's 2020 and they have to get up and go to work.
Yes.
And come home and go to sleep. Totally understandable.
Yeah. That's the kind of thing I want to get when I ask everyone the question of what do you want to see in the game? Larry gave me the perfect answer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I now know what Larry wants out of a game. To the heart of what Larry wants out of the game. So now I can get that for Larry.
Right. And that was the cool thing about the pitch session, too. If somebody's thinking about doing this, Wayne pitched four games. And Wayne was asking questions about all four games and getting all this information. So information about, say, a question that was asked during the Western game applies to whatever game ends up getting picked, even if the Western was not picked.
Right.
And I was taking notes throughout all of it. I have my notes in front of me here. As I was asking them, I was taking note of what everyone had to say. Mm-hmm. As we kind of went through, one of the things Chad wants side plots, basically involving other players. He wants day jobs and things going on, things happening.
Side plots that do not involve the other players sitting there twiddling their thumbs while you focus on one person.
Right. Yep.
Laura, you asked for serious moments and character development.
Yeah.
Dawn asked for family drama and werewolves.
She did.
Dale wanted Fae and wanted the choice of a changeling.
Yeah. Because this is when we had decided on the Dresden game.
Yeah.
And that's something I want to get back to is our method we used for deciding the game. But we'll get that in a moment.
So I got from you, and that's a big part of the character that you're creating, is it is a changeling. It is going to be making those choices of how much power to take. I went back around and asked the question I always ask, too, is what don't you want to see? The only thing I got out of Chad is the normal answer. I always get out of Chad, no monkeys.
No monkeys. Right.
So I immediately...
That applies to all simians except humans. Yep. It's no gorillas, no chimps, no monkeys, nothing.
We'll find a way.
Oh, I always do. Well,
and that's the thing.
Larry will find a way.
I don't need Dawn to put monkeys in my game anymore because Dawn will do it.
Dawn will do it
because Chad asked for no monkeys.
Yep. Yes.
So because of that, I get my monkeys without having to do
it. I love it. I love it.
It's just bananas. Puns are appealing. I don't know what you're talking about.
Laura asked to be not effed over by the GM.
Yes.
Yeah, that's... I'm still mad at you about that. I'm not going to lie. Unlike your NPC.
Oh, that sounds like a story I want to hear.
Oh, go back and listen to the episode in which Wayne titled it NPC's Lie. That was all about me and how he screwed me over.
I know that episode.
And what's really bad about it is that episode is not an episode about how he screwed you over.
No.
It is a victory lap.
Poor, defenseless, naive new player with little experience, and you just shoved the knife right there and just twisted
that was my favorite part of that whole game.
Well, you know, the lesson was well learned, and I will never make that mistake again. Yep.
Dale threw out something for what he didn't want that I forgot to mention.
Mm-hmm.
This was something coming in that I wanted to mention specifically that I wanted out of the game.
Yeah.
Dale asked, not an evil campaign.
Right.
Yeah.
We have had a lot of characters that have been morally ambiguous, mm-hmm. leaning towards the evil side because we had just come off of Blaze in the Dark.
I mean, right.
You and I playing Skies mm-hmm. of Glass yep. with a group that is not the best of guys.
Right.
And I really was wanting a better party.
Yeah.
Good guys.
Good guys. I mean, especially with Blades in the Dark. It says
you're
it on
criminals,
the box.
Yeah, like,
you're the bad guy. It's not even
point.
Like you're the good rogue. You're the bad guy.
We were assassins. We killed people for a living.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. For
it
money.
It was fun, yes.
Yeah. Not the right kind of people. I mean, I think he had, like, no kids, and that was really about
that
it.
That was, yeah, that was really it. No, I appreciated that call right. up by Dale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I just needed a break.
Oh, absolutely.
That's,
yeah.
That's
Blades
entirely
in the Dark
fair.
Can get dark.
It's a dark
yes,
game.
Too, yeah.
So Chad was mentioning how we actually picked the game. What I did, after I'd done all the pitches, I asked for what is everyone's bottom pitch?
Mm-hmm.
What is the, you know, your low one on the poll? And then what are your top two favorites?
So let's go over the games again real quick.
Okay.
So there was a Dungeons & Dragons game that involved young people, teenagers, level one, but within the theme of the game, working for a guild and having jobs, and then these towns, and you make the towns and stuff. Really
a lot
neat.
Of politics yep. into it, mm-hmm. and a lot of coming into your own and earning mm-hmm. your place in the guild.
Great game. That was one of my top two.
You know, one of the things that I really liked about that game is the possibility of sometimes we don't go on the main plot. Sometimes we just take a job.
Yeah, that
right.
you already had built into it, the side plots that
yeah, I built into a something I don't think I mentioned in the original pitch on paper mm-hmm. was I had built in the job board. Where from the Blades in the Dark game, mm-hmm. one thing we learned is that sometimes yep. the party just wanted to go out and kill someone.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we have sick people or we don't have the full group and you don't want to push forward on the main plot things.
Right.
So I built into that one basically the ability to do episodic sessions.
Mm-hmm.
The job board was going to be there. So if the group, let's say we're down a person or let's say everyone just, we're really tired of dealing with the politics. Mm-hmm. We just want to go beat something up.
Yeah.
Here's a bunch of jobs to pick from and you can pick whatever you feel like doing for that session.
Yeah.
And not only that, it works great in that, you know, like, say the cleric isn't there. Well, okay, the cleric is off praying at the temple. He's doing his or her religious rites that they've got to do. But the rest of us, what are we going to do? Twiddle our thumbs while we wait for that to happen? So, no, we're just going to go take a job, you know, something mm-hmm. small. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We
really
had the D&D
that.
Game,
mm-hmm.
a Dresden game, which was the one right off of that pitch document,
yep.
where the whole setup is there is a woman who runs a halfway house, a boarding house for kids that have abilities, and no one's quite sure what she is, mm-hmm. and now she's dead.
Yep.
I really want her to be a voodoo practitioner so much.
Well, we're going to make a city, and that's going to yep. be part of the game. Yep.
So that was the yeah. Dresden pitch.
Might be able to do that.
The Western pitch was a town in the middle, yep. on the edge of the frontier. The
very survivalistic.
Very survivalistic. Or, yeah. The sheriff has been killed. It's dangerous to travel around.
Mm-hmm. No magic.
Right. And very much, I specifically called out no Weird West.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last pitch was the Fallout game.
Yep.
Which was Fallout in St. Louis. You've come out of mm-hmm. The vault is failing, and you need to either find a place to settle or find the parts to make it last longer.
Yeah. Like I said, it was a good pitch. Nobody at the table played Fallout except you and me, and I was really the only one who was able to ask any relevant questions because I was the only one with context, so yep. no one was able to connect with the game.
Well, and I did, keeping that in mind, I did have in there a description of the setting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Not like the setting of this is post-apocalyptic, right. but the whole world of Fallout
yeah,
that led
no,
up to
it. Yeah, no, you set it up for us, mm-hmm. I think,
knowing that some
well
people
enough.
wouldn't yeah. know the setting.
Right? Yeah, it was quite understandable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So first thing I did, I went around and asked everyone, okay, what is your bottom game? What is the game that you would least like to play?
Let's just get it out of the way and off the table.
Yep. Yeah. What are the two that you most want to? Knowing that the one that they don't want to gives me an idea, because if they're saying that one, that's the one that there's absolutely something they're against.
Mm-hmm.
The one in position three that they never have to call out is the one that they have the least passion about.
Yeah.
They feel passionately about what they don't want to play.
Right.
They feel passionately about what they want to play, whatever's going to be in third place for each person is
the meh game.
Exactly.
And you know, the interesting thing from, I guess, your perspective on that is that, you know, the bottom ranked one is, you just really never need to pitch that again. Maybe you could rework the ideas into something else, but you know that this is not in the group's wheelhouse.
Yep.
The top two, of course, are passion. That's fine. The third one maybe is potentially a good idea that just needs to be reworked for at a later date. Yep.
Or so what even not up... necessarily reworked. Maybe it's a timing thing. That's just not what we're feeling right now. And, you know, circle back around to it later and make a couple tweaks maybe. But
what ended up happening out of the votes, for the lowest game, there were 4 votes for Fallout, 1 vote for the Western.
I was the only one to vote for the Western.
The top games were Dresden and D&D for everyone.
Yeah, unanimously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I was like, which one am I going to choose, Fallout or the Western? That was kind of both equally bottom there for me.
Well, and it led to a conversation about those two games and why.
Right.
The Fallout one, like you said, I never expected to get.
That was you got to shoot your shot.
Yeah, exactly. The Western one, I thought there'd be more interest in. And as we talked about it, we kind of came up with this idea of, let's put that one to the side right now, put it together, and come back as a one-shot for it.
Yeah.
It's not something the group wants to do as a campaign, but it might be interesting to just try it out as a one-shot.
I mean, I agree with you. I thought the conversation about the number 3 place was really interesting because our group has never done a Western before. We haven't even done a Weird West, right? At least as a group.
And Chad and I, not too long ago, finished playing through Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yep.
Which is what triggered the original conversations about Westerns, which is not Weird West at all.
Right. And I love Westerns. I never get a chance to play it because I'm not interested in Deadlands. I don't think it's bad or anything. It's just not my cup of tea. Or at least it hasn't been. I haven't played any game that's interested me yet. But I really love the idea of playing a Western. I ran a Western, which did have fantasy elements in it, at Fear the Con last year that was very well received. I loved running it. But the conversation, we kind of found out that people didn't want to do it because they don't have a connection with it. And it's like, we've never done it before. We don't want to commit to a big campaign of this sort of serious, survivalistic, no magic, Western. The idea is interesting, but it's like, that's a little too out there to really want to put all your chips on.
Yeah.
And in the discussion of that, we found it's like, well, why don't we try to do at a later date a one shot, so that people who, like Laura, who are like, you know, I'm just not interested in a Western, can see maybe I am, or, you know, this confirmed it. I'm not interested, you know, and it's just a one shot. Whereas others can be like, well, okay, we can get our feet wet and maybe see what we do and don't like about it to have a better formed opinion. So the number 3 spot, this whole pitch concept, it's like we said, the first two are what people feel passionate about.
And the bottom is what they feel passionate about.
The third one, you could do a lot of things with, except run a campaign on it. You can get a lot of information out of it.
Run a campaign on it right now.
Right, yeah. Right.
So that led us to everybody chose Dresden and D&D as their top two.
These were tied for first place for me, by the way.
Yeah.
So I went back around with everyone and had them pick out of those two.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of curious, just go around the table here. Why'd you pick the one you did? And everyone unanimously picked Dresden.
Yes.
Honestly, well, it was different. I hadn't played a Dresden game before. I've played plenty of D&D. I'm sure that I'd absolutely love another D&D game, but I haven't played a Dresden game. So I wanted to give it a shot.
You know, we talk on the show a lot about this sort of legendary Dresden multiple arc, years-long campaign that Wayne has run. Yeah.
And this game is not going to be that.
It's not even set in that universe, set in the Dresden universe.
Yeah, Dan and I talked about this earlier today, and to me, that game died when Pat died.
Yes.
It is not a game I will be going back to, because to me, it is too intrinsically tied with him, and I don't want to run it without him at the table.
And it's not like the game trailed off, you know, Pat got sick and the game trailed off. We wrapped it up. We did things in the game to bring our character stories to a very satisfying conclusion. And we put a period on it, and it was great. And we shouldn't go back to it, not only because, you know, all the things with Pat and all the things with the game. There's only 2 people in the group played in that game. There are 3 in the group who have not played in the game. To have Dawn and myself be making characters that are tied back to the old game, making callbacks, inside jokes. Oh, well, we did this. Oh, well, that's okay. This character's okay. My other character, that would be hell for the other characters. That would kill the game for them.
Well, and specifically, you said the same thing when you ran Blades in the Dark.
Yes.
Because Don and I were the only two that had been in that game, and we had three new players that had not been in it. While it was set in the same city,
yep,
it was not the same world in the same game, and we weren't going to be making those callbacks.
Right.
Because it's not fair to the new players.
Yeah, it's just miserable. So why I voted for Dresden, the reason why I told that part of the story, though, is that my decision, my thought process on Dresden for D&D and all that was, as much as I could, not influenced by this wonderful game and these characters that we had. It's like I really had to force myself to say, we are not making Lightning Strike twice. This is a new game. Do I want to play the memories of the old game, or do I want to play this new game? And I felt that I understood that this was a new game. I absolutely felt that Wayne understood it was a new game. I felt Dawn understood it was a new game. And I also thought Dresden would really work for this group as a whole because of the fate system. Not because we're rolling these weird dice and the combat works like this, but because of the way character creation works and the way city building works. So in my Blades in the Dark game, which was the last one, we didn't do any character creation. And what I mean by that is not we obviously had character sheets and we made character stuff. We did not interconnect the characters. We did not write big background. Your characters were great, mind you. And that's not a bash against the players. All your characters were wonderful.
We didn't do world building.
We didn't do world building. Yep, we didn't do world building. We didn't tie characters in. And that was on me. And there was a reason I didn't do that. And that's because we were putting in new players and new system, and this was supposed to be a stopgap game.
And even when you look at the game before that, when I ran the Hollow Earth game, we did character creation and tied characters. We didn't do world building.
No, we didn't do any world building.
The last time we did world building was with the 5e game that Chad ran. That was my first campaign. Yep.
And to that point, Wayne's pitch for the 5e game, obviously, and we proved it, you can do all that character creation stuff. It's just people talking and deciding things.
Yeah.
The fate system in Dresden is mechanically made to tie characters together, tie them into a world that they build and create together, and to have their characters tied in, and the buy-in is immense because of the rules. I mean, obviously, if you just kind of like hand wave everything, that doesn't matter. We're not. We are going to go in on it because I know us. D&D doesn't have that built in. It's decisions we have to make to do that, which is fine. And two games ago, we did a big, long 5e game. I love 5e. In fact, it's the only version of Dungeons & Dragons I can say that I love. I bought a Dungeons & Dragons t-shirt. I never thought I'd do that. I love 5e. I love the pitch. I love Wayne's story. There were just a couple of bullet points that really pushed, and these were big bullet points for me, that pushed Dresden to the front.
Laura?
That was a lot of talking.
It's Chad.
It's Chad.
I will also have to say that I don't know if you guys noticed it or not, but at the pitch session, we went around and did the voting, and I think I was the third person to vote. I did this on purpose. I know that I did this. I don't think I can help not doing it. I remember Dale saying, I think I'm interested in Dresden. I haven't played it before. This would be interesting. I mean, you said more than that. I don't remember what it was, but that was the gist of it.
That was, the gist. Yeah.
How I just talked about Dresden a few minutes ago. I know I did a hard sell on it to the group.
Yes, you did. Very much so.
It's very selfish of me to do that, but I did it anyway. Because I just believe, truly, that this would be very good for us. The way the characters are made, the world building, all the interconnectedness. I truly believed it, so I did a hard sell instead of just saying, well, my vote's with Dresden. I kind of like it.
Well, and
I don't know if it influenced anyone.
It did. I feel like I was one of the last, if not the last person to vote.
Possibly, because you were on the phone.
Since I was on the phone.
I made sure Chad wasn't the first one to vote.
Right. I was sort of waffling between the two. Mm-hmm. My experience with the 5e campaign was extremely positive for me.
Your character was great.
Yes, and we did very interesting things with
so
my
was
character.
Your dog. She had a wolf and everyone called it a
really
dog.
I really wish that people could see the glare that I am giving you right now. And also people kept calling her a boy and she was not a boy. Anyway, I had a really positive experience with with the 5e campaign. I was leaning toward Dresden for many of the same reasons that Dale chose Dresden, and that it was something new, and I am not a terribly experienced player. And so it's important to me, especially in a group that I feel as good as ours is, to experience things that I haven't yet.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that. And that's part of why I was leaning that way. And I knew that there was a history with it in the group. But any time that someone at the table is able to speak passionately about something that they want or something that they enjoy or something that's important to them. Chad didn't make up my mind for me, but if I'm waffling between two choices and I know that one of the people I game with feels that strongly about it, all right, dude, like, unless I have a damn good reason to say no, I'm going to have fun either way.
Yeah.
And so Chad's hard sell worked for me and tipped the scale the rest of the way. But yeah, a lot of it was something new and I'm looking forward to it. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
From a passion standpoint, that was one of the things in my last pitch session before this one that Chad mentioned, is he just didn't hear the passion for some of the other pitches.
Right.
That was one coming into this one. I had passion for all four.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of you could tell which ones were my preferred ones over any of the others. But I had passion for all four.
Honestly, I actually felt bad voting against Fallout and the Western, because honestly, to me, it felt like you had more passion for those. I was like, I don't want to squash the GM's passion here.
I was crush his dreams, Dale.
I told Chad afterwards that the two that were the top picks, those were the concept ideas I had come up with months ago.
Right.
So they weren't quite as fresh in my mind from I didn't have to put any work into getting them ready, other than a little bit of refresher for me. But they were the two I spent the least amount of time on because I knew the system for both of them.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time on the pitches for both Fallout and the Western because I didn't know what system I was going to run either one in. And so for the Western, I evaluated no less than 20 systems.
That is so intense.
And I narrowed it down to two systems. One that was called Coyote Trail, that was a very punishing, unforgiving system, and Deadlands.
Yeah.
Now,
and Deadlands got added only because of that game I mentioned earlier today.
Yeah.
That I played with Gaming with Gage and Chris Hussey, where I found that Savage Worlds isn't as bad as I thought it was.
Now, a little problem with a punishing, unforgiving system is that would be great for a one-shot where you go in expecting your character to die. Beyond that, I'm like...
I will always have a soft spot in my heart for punishing, unforgiving systems. Because my first game ever was Skies of Glass. And because some of the best games I have ever played in have been Dan's Skies of Glass games.
Yep.
That is a punishing, unforgiving system. When you go into combat, you know there's a good chance your character is not coming out of it. And out of every game I've ever played, the only games that I've had characters killed in was one Battletech game and Skies of Glass.
I've never lost a character in Skies of Glass.
That is true.
And I've been playing since high school.
Wow.
I can't tell you how big my D&D graveyard characters is.
You know, something that you said, Dale, about the Fallout game, it really resonates with me, too. Because, you know, you were able to intuit that it was Wayne's passion project. And you felt bad for voting against it. But you have to be true to yourself. I mean, that's what Wayne wants. It's what we need. And I felt that way, too. I knew it wasn't going to get voted on.
Yeah. And I never said it until afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew it wasn't going to be voted on, but I wasn't going to influence the pitch by telling everyone, I am pitching this game. I know that you don't want to play.
Yeah.
But I am pitching this game for me. I'm pitching the others for us.
I felt bad about it because I think one or two questions got, no one was asking any questions because nobody really had enough context with it. And I think by then it was the last one. Everyone kind of made their choices already. So I was asking questions because I'm like, this is Wayne's passion. We can't just blow it off here, guys. Right. It's just like, you know, we got to show something. I was not selling it per se, but I kept asking a lot of questions because I knew Fallout that I don't know. It's really hard for me to explain what I was doing. It's like I was making a token effort to try to get people interested, but I knew the outcome. But I still...
You were being supportive of Wayne.
Yes. Yeah.
Did any of you realize that I knew that no one would vote for it when I pitched it?
I knew more in my heart of hearts that Dawn would vote no and that yep. I wasn't interested. And I didn't really know how everyone else would go, but I never heard anyone else talking about Fallout. So I'm like,
put it to you like this. The moment you said Fallout, I knew that Larry was not going to be voting for it.
Right.
There was just nothing going to happen.
But that's not what I mean. What I mean is, did any of you realize
that... Did you give it away?
This was your shot?
That I was pitching something I knew no one was going to vote for.
I did not know, because there's no way I could tell, but let's say I did have that ability to tell.
Basically, I'm just asking, did I give it away?
No, you didn't give it away.
No.
Because I wouldn't have noticed, because I'm like, Fallout.
I honestly, from your description of it, I think it would be really interesting to play a campaign.
It is my favorite video game set.
Sure.
I know people were super, like... passionately against it, but for me, that's something that I think would be a lot of fun, just not right now.
Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily have a problem with it. In fact, my reason for voting for it is not that I would never want to play a Fallout role-playing game or your Fallout role-playing game. The reason I voted against it as dead last was I knew, well, Dawn for one and others, out of all of them, this would not be the one that launches to the moon.
Yep.
There are others in the pitches from the D&D game, the Dresden game, and the Western game, although the Western game was, that is a no on the Western game. All of those are a space shot, right? All of those are going to take us to the moon and back, and we're going to be coming back in flaming Lamborghinis, and it's going to be great. I did not see that with my mind's eye happening for Fallout.
One thing I noticed as I was doing the pitches is that some of the players started coming up with character ideas right away.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I tried to stop the conversations for them.
Right. I noticed that.
Because I didn't want people to get too invested in a character if that wasn't the game that was picked.
Mm-hmm.
Fair point.
And then be disappointed with the game that was picked.
Right.
So that was why I was consciously trying to get people to at least move quickly past it. Mm-hmm. If you have a quick character idea, that's great, but I didn't want people to really invest in a character they might not get to play.
Right.
And that ultimately, I think, is why I voted for Fallout to be the last place, is that because I couldn't figure out a character for myself. I could see easily see a character for D&D, for Dresden, and even the Western game, but it'd still be kind of a generic cowboy. Fallout...
One thing I wanted to hit on, was as some of these character ideas were being pitched out, there was one that got pitched that I realized wasn't going to work with what I wanted to get out of the Dresden game.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And me in the past as a GM, I've always been I just say yes, mm-hmm. and I find a way to work it.
Yeah.
And I knew what I wanted out of this game was a lot of interactions and character interactions. And the concept that was pitched, nothing wrong with the concept.
No, it's a great
concept.
It wasn't
going to work with this conversation.
Yeah.
And so I said something right then.
Yeah, okay. So Larry said that she wanted to play either a dewdrop fairy or a brownie. Basically, I talked to her afterwards and said she just basically wants to play Toot Toot's girlfriend for anyone that is familiar with the Dresden books. It's absolutely hilarious character. Whenever I read the books to her, I always read, like, "For the Zalord, charge!" Yeah, I do the full voice for all of the dewdrop fairies for her. So, you know, she absolutely loves Toot Toot and the entire dewdrop fairy people.
Yeah, and I wanted to explain, because like I said, I don't like saying no.
Right.
Yeah.
So I felt like right then I needed to explain why. Wasn't a power level thing. Mm-hmm. It was specifically, I'm looking for a more serious game. I'm not looking for a comedic game.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean there's not going to be comedy, because there's always going to be comedy.
Right.
And there's always going to be light moments. But I wanted a more serious game where the characters can have deep character moments between each other while they're eating food, because that's kind of a given. But I want everyone to be able to go together. I want them to be able to talk to NPCs that aren't in the know.
Yep.
And as she was telling me that concept, that wasn't going to work. So I had to say something then. And I was worried.
She wouldn't have fun. We wouldn't have fun. Again, great character. The way I kind of was seeing it in my mind as she was describing it, it's like, okay, we're going to have a vampire. I mean, this is making it up. Nobody's decided this.
Right.
We're going to have a vampire. We're going to have a half-elf, changeling half-elf disguised as a human. We're going to have a focused practitioner who can shoot fire out of their hands. and we're going to have somebody who is struggling with a vampirism infection, and we're going to have a Dewdrop Fairy. Four of these characters can walk up to a police officer and ask them questions. The fifth one cannot.
Right. Yeah. And I understand that that was probably very hard for you to say no, especially in the moment. I thought that it was a good idea that you did, because I know for me, once I latch onto an idea, I'm going to run with that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
By the time the next session comes around, if I've already got this built up so much in my mind, and then you tell me no, that's not going to go well for anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I needed to say something right then and there.
You did. Yeah.
And I needed to deal with it then.
Mm-hmm.
And I was worried because at that point, that was what she had already had in her mind she wanted to play. And I know it killed a lot of her excitement.
Yeah.
In the time since then, she's thought up a new character.
Yeah.
And I like this idea for the character. Yes, it's something I can really work with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that will fit in with the rest of the group a lot easier. So I'm happy she's found something else that she likes. That was the first time I've ever actually shot something down.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there was another time where I was really close to shooting something down, but then Dawn looked over at Chad and said, "Can you just quit playing an outsider?"
So I played a dog.
And so I didn't have to do it because Dawn did it.
Yeah.
Go Dawn.
That's right.
Got to keep that man in check.
I know, you know, she's quiet, level-headed, very even keel. I am me. And so we balance each other. It works.
So I'm really looking forward to this coming up Saturday when we sit down, do world building, do character building, and get ready for the actual game itself. I am not bringing Bob the Skull back. For anyone that hadn't heard all of those old gaming stories, and the two people here that didn't play with the game, we had in the original Dresden game a skull from like Halloween that was painted up like Bob the Skull from the TV show.
You had like an actual physical Bob the Skull.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
And I would styrofoam or not styrofoam, well, but resin plastic.
And I would set it in the center of the table. Mm-hmm. And when someone would start talking, I would passive aggressively reach out and turn the skull towards the person that was misbehaving.
How often did Beth get the skull staring at her?
Well, Pat was there too.
I was going to say.
Well, I didn't know Pat.
So. It usually stayed on that side of the table.
Yeah, I was actually going to say, how often was it staring at Chad?
A few times.
Yeah.
Just a few, really?
Just a few, man. I'm into gaming. I love it.
Chad has never brought up Doctor Who porn parody at the table on his phone watching it.
Yeah, fair point.
Yep.
Which, it was his fault that it got brought up.
I happened to mention it, that it existed, and I didn't
Why would you do that?
I didn't think of the consequences of my actions, and the whole game got blown, and it was my fault.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it.
We'll shame you for it later.
I'd like to thank the both of you for now having something I can't scrub out of my mind. Thank you very much.
It could be worse, I guarantee it.
Oh, there's plenty of things that are worse.
So I am not bringing Bob the Skull over, because it doesn't really fit on that table. I am, however, bringing Bob the Skull to Fear the Con when I run my Dresden Files one shot that was for
the Kickstarter,
the Kickstarter, which is Fear the Con, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
You should call it a bang. Fear the Con, bang, bang, bang.
No.
It is from the Dresden books.
Oh, is it?
In one of the books, they have a convention called SplatterCon, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. I based Fear the Con, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, on that. I have buttons I'm making for my players that has, like, bleeding letters that say Fear the Con with the exclamation point. And so Bob the Skull will be on the table for that game.
Nice.
But I'm not bringing him over. Mostly because we go back to a couple episodes ago where we talked about gaming spaces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really happy with the table the way it is.
Mm-hmm. And not
expanded
the
popcorn
out,
there. And I do think I'm going to switch where I sit with where Chad usually sits out at the end. Because I want to be able to stand up and move around.
Yeah.
And I can't do that if I have the, a hutch?
It's a hutch.
Yeah.
A hutch behind me.
Mm.
I still could, but I don't feel like I have that freedom to just get up and move.
Well, it would take it. There'd be maneuvering, and then the moment's gone. And
Does that mean that you're going to be sending Chad over to the hutch?
Well, see,
Chad's being put in the timeout chair.
Yay!
Ooh, there
that's
we
the
go.
Cool guy chair.
Keep telling yourself that.
I will.
I guess that would mean Chad would go over there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we could shuffle.
Well, it really is the difference of, do I want to sit next to Dawn and like poke her and annoy her, or do I want to sit where Wayne sits and just make eyes at her? So, you know, I'm good either way.
Well, either way, you're close enough to poke her.
That's very true. Oh, the best of both worlds. I can annoy my wife and stare at her.
Yep.
It works. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I think it's going to wrap this one up. We'll be back to our regular scheduled host next time, yeah. I assume.
Maybe.
If we let him back in.
You know, he hasn't had a day off in a long time. We used to do this. We used to have enough hosts that we could give Dan some time off and he can just play video games. Because if you think about it, he's on every episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We usually aren't. You know, there's usually rotation out. So it's good to give him some time off every now and then.
Yeah.
All right. So see you all next time.
See ya.
Bye. Hey.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2020. Listeners are free to use this episode in a non-commercial endeavor, so long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. If you wish to support this show and its related endeavors, you can do so at patreon.com/feartheboot.